Welcome to Ripple Effect Connection. I'm your host, Christy Hugick. This is a podcast created to help bridge the gap between impactful messages and inspiring messengers. The goal is to ignite transformative discussions that create a ripple effect of positive change in your life and the lives of others. Today, we're delving into the intricate relationship between food and family, a topic that often can feel daunting. But fear not, because I have the perfect guest to guide you through this journey, my dear friend, Autumn Michaelis. As a health coach, I frequently encounter the overwhelming struggles that busy moms face. They understand the importance of healthier eating, yet find themselves torn between providing for their families and managing it all within a budget. It can be difficult and emotional. Enter Autumn. Not only is she a talented recipe creator, she's also a super mom to five energetic boys. Yes, I said it, five energetic boys. 6 years ago, Autumn experienced a pivotal moment when she realized the transformative power of food on her health through a Whole 30. Since then, she's successfully transitioned her family to a paleo-like diet while keeping it budget-friendly. Today, Autumn graciously shares her wealth of knowledge and her experience, offering invaluable tips, tricks, and resources to make healthier eating more accessible. From her meal plans to her incredible cookbook, Whole Food for Your Family, boasting over 100 budget-friendly and family-friendly recipes, she's got you covered. Autumn was also an advanced-level Whole 30 certified coach and was the coordinator of the coaching program. She's also got a BS in exercise physiology and is a certified personal trainer. We both have a love of that and Les Mills, so of course we're going to get into a little of that. But for those of you feeling overwhelmed, I want you to sit down, relax, and listen, because you will find this episode a breath of fresh air. Let's dive into my episode with Autumn Michaelis. This is my pleasure to welcome you to the podcast, Autumn. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for taking the time out to join me.
Oh, my pleasure, friend.
And we were talking about it earlier. It's we're all a little still sad that the Whole 30 coaching program went away, because we all got to communicate and see each other a lot more than we do now. But the good news is we have all these events and podcasts and things that everybody's doing that finally we can connect. So it's good to have you back.
Thank you. Yeah. And what special connections we created of like-minded people through that space. So that's really cool.
For sure. And we're going to talk about a lot of that today. When I first, met you, you were the Whole 30 coaching coordinator. And, in Whole 30, it permeates loudly through our world about your why. So I want you to talk about today coming here and your health journey and what you do with your family. Kind of just lay out for everybody, what is your why?
So my why is freedom, if I had to put it to one word. I have a large family. Mom of five boys. It's where my name Whole Food for Seven brand comes from. And, it's easy, especially for young moms, but I think for anyone, to kind of get lost in the day-to-day shuffle. For me, that looked like five boys ages 10 and under all at once. And to kind of lose yourself, lose taking care of yourself. And it finally got to a point where I felt incredibly out of control with my relationship with food. At first, it was acute, like, oh yeah, I love sugar. I have a sweet tooth. But I could compensate it. My background's in exercise physiology. I know we share that love for exercise. And so I just work out really hard in the gym and then didn't worry too much. Like, I thought I ate healthy-ish, but ate a lot of refined sugar, a lot of treats, and just figured it was just like, oh, it's just a thing. I have a sweet tooth. Finally, it caught up to me. And I remember just sobbing on the phone to my best friend. I'd had all my five boys, and I just felt really out of control, that my relationship with food was this monkey on my back that was always pestering me all day long. Like, I thought, it surely cannot be healthy to think about food as much as I do. Like, we don't really talk about these things in public society. We have, cute little memes about alcohol and chocolate and our needs and wants for them. But I didn't hear a lot of people discussing like their struggles very openly. And so it kind of set me on this path of like, I got to figure this out, like both for myself and yes, for my kids, but really for myself. Like, this isn't how I want to show up in the world. This is taking so much energy from my day, of constantly like, oh, this is what I should eat, this is what I'm going to eat, and then all day like wrestling with myself, that mental gymnastics of what you should do versus what you actually do. And it's so easy to have that with food, especially, you know, the sugar and the carbs and things like that. And so eventually it led me to Whole30, and I definitely poo-pooed on the Whole30 at first. I was like, oh, I'm never going to do that, that's so restrictive. And didn't succeed my first Whole30 because I didn't really plan, didn't really engage. I just like, oh, okay, cool, we're going to take out all these foods for 30 days. That it's an elimination protocol, so you know, you take out certain food groups for 30 days to reset. And I didn't do a great job, but it struck a fire in me because it was the first time I'd gone 10 days successfully without eating any treats or added sugar. And so then I really got into that world, and you know, a few Whole30s later, realized what I was capable of, and really started turning that ship around. And so for me, my why is freedom, to have freedom in how I approach myself and how I approach food. Obviously has been my space of choice for the past 5 years, but really to just feel like you have the freedom to be your best self. And I was really struggling to do that in the food arena.
So this may be a broad question and hard to answer specifically, but what did you learn? What's the biggest takeaway you had from doing Whole30, but also because you ended up coaching Whole30, it was in your world for a long, long time. So what are some of the valuable things that it taught you?
That's a great question. I think the first one that comes to mind that really, like, I've literally made the memes about because it just really struck me, was cravings are not actually about food. And once I realized that, it just opened up this whole other world, because here's the mindset I was going through of like, oh, I'm really craving chocolate. Well, nope. I'm going to be good today. I'm going to have some apple and almond butter instead, or I'm going to have an RX bar. Like, both of those are allowed if you're doing a Whole30, or if you, however you eat, those are very plant-based, nutrient-dense foods. But the problem was, I was continuing the sugar addiction cycle, which I wanted something sweet. I craved something sweet. I gave my body the sweetest thing I would allow myself to have at the time, and it would continue. And I didn't really address the root problem. The root problem was I was struggling as a young mom and needed more socialization and friends. Or the problem was I wasn't getting enough sleep. That's really hard to do as a young mom. The problem was I wasn't nourishing myself outside of food. And food, unfortunately, is just such an easy, quick Band-Aid. So I was putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm. I wasn't addressing the actual problem. And once I realized cravings aren't about food, it helped me. And I did things like I put on my fridge, the answer to my problem is not in the fridge. Unless you're legitimately hungry, of course, eat. However, that wasn't how I was approaching food at all. It was not to fuel my body. It was absolutely to... as a crutch. It was a sugar crutch. And so for me, that was one of the biggest things, because I kept trying to rework different ways in which I used food to solve my problems. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it in a healthier way. I'm going to do it in a Whole30 way. I'm going to do it in a, you know, paleo way. And it still wasn't actually the main problem.
Oh, and it's so profound to learn that cravings are a sign from your body that something is awry, and that can be physiological, can be psychological. So it is profound when we can have that pause and we can just kind of figure out, like, what is really driving this? Like, not just mindlessly appease the craving, but seriously pause and dissect what is it that's causing this to happen in the first place. So I think that's going to be a valuable thing for people to hear. And I thank you for sharing that and passing it off. And we are going to go back to the food and your family and all that's involved there. But, you know, you and I'd be remiss to not share, you know, you and I have that background as a trainer. So when I first started with Whole30 and Autumn and I started talking, we both realized we were Les Mills instructors. So I always love to talk fitness real quick and your approach and thoughts to successful movement and workouts for each person. Like, what's your philosophy and what have you been able to share through your experiences in that area?
Well, I'd be interested to know, Christy, your trajectory with that as well, having now added such a more holistic viewpoint. For me, so my degree was in exercise physiology. I'm an ACSM certified exercise physiologist. I've spent 20 years in the gym, you know, like the whole thing. I've taught 14 different aerobic certifications. Like, I just went all in on the fitness scene. I love the movement of the human body. And also, I thought that was the component to having health. And I thought that was the main knob you needed to turn to have the body and the health that you want, which was a very privileged approach, first of all. That is, I've definitely blown that out of the water now. But I just, you know, and you see it on t-shirts. I was absolutely guilty of being one of those people who put it on a t-shirt where, you know, the concept of like, I'm going to do whatever in the kitchen and then burn it off in the gym, or like come to the turkey Thanksgiving post burn off all those Thanksgiving calories, or, you know, just that your body is this math equation and that the exercise is there to burn calories. And that's how I lived for many years. And I loved it. Like, there's so many fun ways to move your body, but I definitely at core operated from a place of fear that if I don't work out, I will gain weight, or if I don't work out, I will not have the body I want, which is, I want to honor everyone's goals, and also is important for me to have a much more full movement. And once I was able to, and it was definitely a process. A lot of it did come from attacking, from having more holistic, realizing how I could take care of myself in more ways than just exercise. Finally, exercise has turned into a place of, I tap into that joy. Like, I work out because I love the joy and the freedom of moving my body. And if I'm on a trip, or, you know, life is intense, there's no like fear or shame of like, oh my gosh, I missed a workout. Like, something bad is going to happen because I didn't work out today. It's much more relaxed. It's much more enjoyable. It's much more free. I also, I don't know if this is like a, because I'm now 42, this is because in my 40s, I've let go of any of the like high intensity, let's beat up my body to get stronger mentality. Like, I'm sorry, my body does not respond well for that anymore. And so it's a much more nourishing, I do love weightlifting. I still lift heavy weights. But it's more, it's more nourishing, less beat myself up to get stronger approach, and more like build myself up with beautiful things.
Yeah. And I think I probably don't have enough time in the podcast to share everything that I've learned, but I think learning that I need to give my body what it's asking for at the time. And when, as you get older, you know, sometimes that is yoga and Pilates, and, you know, being an athlete growing up and having been in that, well, the harder I work,
you've done
the better
those intense.
It is,
yeah.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
If I'm not working hard and I'm not sweating, this isn't working. This isn't a workout. Right. But learning that bar and certain movements, being able to move your body in different ways and being able to respond and say, okay, maybe originally I was going to lift today, but, you know, today I'm not feeling it as much. Maybe I'm more nourished by Pilates. And also being so, handling with grace and understanding that even if I can't do a half hour, 10 minutes is valuable. You know, maybe my day doesn't allow for 40 minutes today. And just understanding and being forgiving of myself that, you know, 10 minutes still does something, and understanding that sometimes there's a choice. It's going to be, am I going to cook dinner? Am I going to get extra sleep? Am I going to go socialize with friends? Am I going to work out? Sometimes you do have to make a choice, and what is okay for you in that day may not be the same answer, you know, each day. And it's just getting more in tune with the body and just understanding there's not one way to do things. So I think that's probably what we've all learned, right? Is like, there's not one way to do this. There's your way, and learning the way that works best for you. Would you think that's about what you would say too?
Well, and what's interesting with that is I think we were afraid to give ourselves grace, that if we were giving ourselves grace, we were giving ourselves a free pass, and then all heck would break loose and we would just like do nothing. But I found that both with food and with exercise, the more I love that word pause that you gave, the more I pause, figure out what I truly need, and then respond in a nourishing way with it, it's only been for the better for me. It really hasn't become this just downhill spiral that I actually was in with food when I was trying to like push harder, restrict more. So, you know, if that isn't working for you, maybe try quite the opposite and pause and listen and lean into what your body needs.
Yeah, for sure. I know we could do, you and I could do a whole podcast on exercise. I mean, I still love doing Les Mills classes in my house like you do. You know, I'll still whip out a body combat workout here and there to
that
just
was so satisfying.
It's so right. And you know, if you're frustrated, it's a great way. As we used to say, you know, we do this so we don't have to hit people in real life, you know? So if you're, if you're wanting to work off a little frustration or angst, it's halfway between dance and fighting because you're choreographed, you're doing it to music. And I used to get into it because I love the music and I love the sweat. So I still do it. And I know you're body pumping and doing some of those CX Works type workouts too. With core, and they're all great. So we still love those. So I'm going to get back to the matter at hand because you have a lot of information I know to share for especially moms of a family like you are. You mentioned you're a mom to five boys. So I want to know how your family, I know you had to figure this out, but then how did you figure it out and transpose this theory and philosophy that you had with healthy eating to your family? How did you do that?
Well, I think that's the harder question because though it is challenging to carve out space for ourselves as parents, as moms, as caregivers, to then extend it to my entire family really intimidated me because we all know that that means more work for me. That means more being consistent, more educating, figuring it out. Okay, well, this I'm fine eating breakfast salads, but what will my kids eat? You know, they're not going to eat kale. Like, what's that going to look like? And so I hemmed and hawed for a good year and a half. I had figured out a really solid place. Where I landed was paleo-ish, works really well for me. So gluten-free, dairy-free, mostly grain-free. And that worked really well for my husband and I. We saw fantastic results, changes in our sleep, our skin, our energy. Like, I used to be a chronic napper. Suddenly I was not napping at all. Like, things I thought that's how I thought life was. That's how I thought my body was. Suddenly I was creating a new standard of what's normal. And when you and I hear that all the time with Whole30 and like what you think might be normal might actually be able to be shifted by the way you approach your nourishment and your wellness. And so I'd made these big shifts and it was super empowering. And my kids noticed, and they noticed that kids are smart, and they'd see what we'd put on the table and what my husband and I would eat versus what they would eat. And I was still, full transparency, I was still giving them standard American diet. I'd like to think it was slightly healthier because, you know, we didn't do soda or whatever things that I justified, but I still had in my mind, like, here's the adult food and here's the kid food. So I would give, like, if dad and I are having soup, oh, my kids don't eat soup. Like, they don't do that. And so here's your chicken strips or whatever, you know, maybe they're homemade and I'm a big believer there's no morality in food. So I'm not saying one was good or bad. I just, there was a disconnect on how I was taking care of myself and how I was taking care of my kids because it felt too overwhelming. It felt like they wouldn't go for it. And I had the range. So at the time we switched to paleo, I had the range of a 15-year-old down to a 5-year-old. So I had the little, I had the teens. And so finally, after my kids asked enough questions, and finally I just felt like I wanted to do better for my kids. I wanted to provide them this opportunity I'd had to have a really awesome relationship with food. So we sat the kids down. We had a family council because I'm a big believer in including the children in the conversation versus just saying, it's a dictatorship. This is what we're doing because that would lead to way more struggle. And so we sat down and I said, hey, here's the things dad and I have noticed. And I told him our why. I told him about my sugar addiction recovery. I told him about changes in my skin and my sleep and my energy and like all the things that we had noticed. We full on showed and told the kids and said, hey, we just want to see what this could do for you. We love you. We want the best for you. We want to see how changing your diet, the way we eat as a family, could help and benefit you. We're just going to try it for 30 days. If after 30 days we're like, hey, nothing changed, nobody liked it, we're out. And people will think I did that to talk my kids into it. I did that to talk myself into it because I was so intimidated by what am I going to feed my family of 7 for 30 days that they're going to eat, that nobody's going to be starving. Like, how is this going to work? I did do it during the summer, which in some ways is crazy because we travel a lot in the summer. We adventure really hard. And also that was the time of year when I could control the input because when your kids are not in your home, you don't truly know what they are or aren't eating. And I've released that. I don't actually try to control that at all still, but I wanted to have direct results. If it's a scientific experiment, you need to be able to control the setting. So I said, for 30 days, we're going to eat. And we didn't do Whole 30. I know some people have done family Whole 30s. For us, that was a step beyond what I felt like we needed. We just did, for 30 days, we're going to do gluten-free, dairy-free, refined sugar-free, because those were the three things I suspected had impact on my kids that I wanted to test. So the kids got on board. They were great. I then took a really deep breath and researched the heck out of, okay, what the heck do we eat now? What does this look like for kids? Because a lot of the cookbooks I'd open were beautiful. They had amazing recipes, but they were kale and quinoa or like things that my kids had never even heard of that really felt unapproachable as a family meal. So I worked really hard to make it feel approachable to them. And we did it for 30 days. And around day 40, actually, I realized we hadn't stopped, which really surprised me. I was like counting. Yeah, at first it was very slow and painful, but by the end, we didn't even, 30 days came and went. I said, okay, we should probably check in and just see. And so I pulled each of my kids in individually because I know group mindset, if you ask them all at once, they'll all just say what the other person said. I pulled them all individually and the results were so inspiring. So my oldest son, he was 15. He had noticed changes in his acne, which were big because you know how it is to be 15 years old with acne. It sucks. He had noticed changes in his skin. He'd noticed changes in his sleep. I didn't even know he was struggling with his sleep, but he started telling me how much better he was sleeping. And he noticed changes in his athletic performance, which for a teen sports player is a big deal. Suddenly he was able to lift heavier, jump higher. Like, you know, it was a big deal for him. The biggest, and I got, you know, various responses from all my kids. All of them noticed something. But the biggest one that really sealed the deal for me is one of my boys is what we lovingly refer to as a spirited child. He just had big emotions, like just such, like everything was loud. There was a lot of yelling, a lot of over the top reactions that we really struggled with to feel like we were successful parents. Like, how do we help this child? And we tried a lot of different punishments, different reward systems, different parental styles. And it was just really hard for a few years. It was just really hard to know how to help this kiddo. Didn't think I'd cry on this one, but the change was night and day. Like the change, he was so much calmer. And what was cool is he noticed it. His brothers noticed it. They absolutely told me in their individual reports, they noticed this kiddo was calmer, but he noticed it. And the way he put it was, I'm able to be myself. And it was just really humbling as a parent to realize like our kids are full of such goodness. Like they want to do, especially, you know, as if you have this loving parent relationship, they want to show up and be awesome, but sometimes they have limitations. And I'm not going to dive into, I do have nieces and nephews who are neurodivergent or have, you know, very specific diagnoses that I don't want to generalize and say this is a magic bullet, because it is not. And I understand there are some parents dealing with some very hard things that take many, many years and still don't have answers. So I do want to hold space for that. I will say for my kiddo, the calmness it brought into him and his ability, sure, he still has bad days and now he's a teenager and he absolutely still sometimes gives me attitude, but it was much more even keel. It was not like I can tell when he's had various foods at school, because I'll see a little more of that spirited, over the top, can't control it energy come back. And I remember like, oh yeah, that was hard. And that used to be our normal. So I get, you know, like it's, I can't say the right way for every family to approach it. I will say doing it, because people are like, oh, can I do it little piece at a time? Can we just try dairy free? And then maybe we'll try gluten free. And you know, you have to do what works for you. I will say doing it all at once for 30 days gave us a very specific scientific biofeedback on what is this actually going to do. Whereas if you kind of dabble in it, the challenge is you may not actually see the results. And then you may think it doesn't work when actually you just didn't have a clear enough sampling of what that could do. So I do, for us, it really was important that we got a very specific biofeedback with an elimination type protocol. So consider that if you've dabbled it and you're like, oh, I tried that, I didn't see any results. Well, how long did you do it for? How strict was the like sampling? Was it a control group? Because that can make a big difference for your results. But for us, it was once I saw those changes in my one son, I told my husband, I was like, I'm in, like, we are doing this, whatever the cost, whatever the effort, like this is going to be a part of our family story. And he was fully supportive.
Well, I know one of the things you help, and these moms come to you and these females come to you that are, you know, overwhelmed with taking a first step. And I think some of the things that you do with giving people budget friendly ways to pull this off too, because at the first glance, everybody kind of assumes this is too expensive to pull off. So what are some of the tips that you're giving to people that have come to you and said, I'd like to do this, but how can I do this with my budget, my life? What are some of the things that you do to reduce the overwhelm a little?
Right, because that's the next question my husband asked. How are we going to afford it? Like, okay, we are in. We want to do this. We know it's what our family needs. And also, how can we actually do this? Because little backstory, we started our family on WIC and food stamps. Like, that was the first couple of years of our marriage. And though our budget has expanded, so has our family. And we have lived on a budget for over 20 years. So I absolutely see the people. And I also want to acknowledge First and Hold Space. There are places with food deserts. There are people who can barely put any, like, I've been in those spots where you're struggling to get food on the table at all. For a while, we earned just enough to not qualify for food stamps, but still our cupboards were pretty bare. So if you're in that space, living a specific dietary protocol, like gluten-free, dairy-free, or even, you know, very veggie-focused, that's probably not the season for you. And I love you, and I send you all, you know, all the strength as you navigate that, because it is a privilege to be able to eat any specific way. With that, we did have enough breathing room, but it was tight. And so to figure that out, I will say first, I had to let go of this elitist mindset. It felt like to be a part of the Healthy Eater Club, you had to shop at certain stores, you had to buy certain products, and I even felt like you had to wear certain yoga pants, and I know you know what I mean. So I felt like I don't belong here. Like, I can't afford to shop at Whole Foods. I'm a Walmart shopper. Winco, Walmart, that's my scene. I cannot afford like the really fancy organic brands of everything. And so I struggled to feel like, is there space for me here? Do I belong in the healthy eating quote unquote space? And I finally realized for me, I had to let go of this standard and let my best be good enough. And though everyone will agree, we would all love to eat free-range organic chicken and get brown eggs from outside from our own chicken and have cows that our friend down the street, you know, chopped up for us and was grass-fed, like all the things. Those are all ideal and amazing and wonderful. And also, if all you can afford is to go down to Walmart and get the basic chicken breast and make a home-cooked meal for your family, that's a win. 100%, that is a win. If you made a home-cooked meal for your family, that is always a win. And that, there's no shame in that. There's no guilt and shame. Do the best you can with what you can afford. And I will stand by that. I absolutely get people hating on me as soon as I say, we use Walmart chicken. They're like, oh my gosh, do you know what people stick in that? And I can't believe you call yourself, you know, whole food anything. And that's okay. That comes from diet culture and this food morality that I no longer believe in and I no longer subscribe to. And when you can, when organic whatever is available to you or on sale, like absolutely, if you find on sale, stock up, stick in your freezer. So I think the biggest thing for me is letting go of that mindset. Sure, I do make a lot of things from scratch. I have some really great data. If, for example, a bottle of dairy-free Whole 30 ranch is often like $8 a jar, I can make it for two. So if you have capacity and you want to learn to DIY some stuff, that can help a ton. And I'm great with those pantry staples. And in my cookbook, that was the premise to my cookbook was, There had never been to that day a Whole 30 endorsed cookbook that was budget focused. And all of the meals in my cookbook can be made for under $5 a serving. So how much can you get? Like, I was shocked when my kids told me the other day, you can't even get like a meal at Burger King or fast food anymore for $5. I don't know what happened to the dollar menus. They are no more. All my recipes in my cookbook, $5 or less per person. Many of them, over half of them for the entrees, $2 or $3 per person. And that is absolutely, I have the data, I have the spreadsheets from my local Walmart, excuse me, pricing, that it can be done. So I'm a huge advocate of finding the right resources, recipes that are budget focused, budget minded, and also releasing that expectation of that you have to reach a certain standard to be able to do better for your family.
You're going to get into you being a recipe creator. And I think, you know, that I was huge on trying to promote your book and trying to pass it on, to mothers I knew who had kids that have a busy life and saying, look, this is great. I know I have friends that want to do better. They want to be able to feed their kids, and the recipes in your recipe book, there's always a way to try to make something a little bit healthier when your family loves the food. And we see that at the clinic, you know, with our patients, you know, with Dr. Cole, like a lot of the families, like I'm always like, what are you missing the most? Because maybe we can replace like a couple of ingredients and recreate this some way. So I think your recipe book, which I think is in, you know, is in your form of Whole30 is kind of paleo-ish. So why don't you talk about the journey of becoming a recipe creator and getting that opportunity to have your cookbook go out into the world and be helping so many?
Yeah. First of all, let me show it.
I love it.
Near my desk. Whole Food for Your Family. That's my cookbook. And so it kind of is where we left off in my story, in that I had to figure out how to do the thing. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of family-friendly, budget-friendly recipes out there. And so there was this gap for me in this space of, well, this is a space I want to be in. I feel strongly about my family being here. I'm lacking in resources. So because of that, though I had dabbled in like putting together recipes and such, it really pushed me into, I'm going to create the thing. I don't, you know, see a need, fill a need. So I started trying to figure out, my recipes are very unfussy. I am not like, there's some very lovely, beautiful recipe creatives out there who have a very long list of ingredients and steps. And it's this whole like beautiful process. I have like 30 minutes to get food on the table between volleyball and basketball. And it needs to be something my kids would eat. And so I really dug deep to figure out, okay, how can we make realistic family meals with nourishing ingredients that is approachable to kids, but it's not just for kids, and keep it budget friendly and, you know, also Whole30 paleo. And so it sounds like a unicorn, but my cookbook really does that. And it's been fun. My kids were my test subjects, and it was fun to get their feedback. They are all kids, they're honest. Like if you want very realistic feedback, you ask a child because they do not hold back. Especially when I told them, your job is to give me feedback. So I'd put down a meal and I'd ask them, and they did not hold back. And so it's fun because all these recipes are tried and true tested by my 5 children. And if there were leftovers that nobody would eat or the dinner was not finished, to me, that told me, I'm like, nope, nobody's fighting for the last couple pieces of this dinner, is not going in the book. And so it's fun to have like such a willing group of test subjects for your target audience, because they were great. Though they did possibly lie a few times about desserts to see if I would make them again so I could continue to test them, which I'm like, you little stinkers, this one's just fine. You just want me to make the dessert 5 more times.
I think that there's some amazing recipes in there. And honestly, and it's so big to have it be quick, because look, if again, no disrespect to the recipe creators out there, but the reason why I felt like your book was so valuable and for me to pass on to my friends and give it as a gift was because I'm like, this is the time frame and the budget that my friends are trying to raise their kids in, and they don't need an arm's length long list of ingredients, and I can't do that either, and I don't have kids. I have 2 jobs and 2 dogs, and that's enough. And I don't want to
say, we're all so busy. Yeah.
I don't have an arm's length, you know, time for an arm's length recipe. So I love that you have been able to bring this. What has been the response from people that have maybe reached out to you about your recipes? I mean, you have a huge following now of people, and you're influencing so many lives. What's been the most incredible part of the feedback that you've gotten?
You know, it's such a joy when people say that, like, part of my biggest mission in life is to help people feel seen. And it's been such a joy for them to reflect back to me and say, this is what I needed. I needed that realistic food. I needed kid friendly. I needed, you know, gluten-free, dairy-free, Whole30, whichever. I needed food my family actually would eat. And I love it. My favorite compliment is the one they say, you are a countertop cookbook. Like, you don't even go in the cupboard. Like, you just live on my countertop. I love seeing people get their kids in the kitchen, involving their kids in the meals. I did not set out to create a cookbook for kids, but it ranked on Amazon as such. And I kept seeing these people bringing their kids into the process because, again, it's easy. So this is a great, like, you know, okay, now we're going to shake this and it's like shake and bake chicken and cool, then you're done. It's easy. So it's empowering for kids. It's also a great cookbook if you're just new to cooking. If you're just like, I need to eat gluten-free, dairy-free, paleo, Whole30, but I'm not a great cook. My cookbook has that covered. And it's been really fun to see people feel empowered in nourishing their families, that it doesn't have to be where I was at, where like, okay, now I need to make two meals because there's the adult meal and there's the kids meal. And then you're just exhausted because you're making two meals most nights of the week. And then you just don't want to cook. And then comes in, you know, takeout and such, which is expensive, and all those things add up. And so I love empowering families to feel like they can be gathered together around one meal that everyone's enjoying and that actually has nourishing ingredients that can help, you know, those growing bodies flourish.
And I love that you're, you know, you share a lot on Instagram, and, you know, we'll get into later on how to, you know, reach out to you and have people connect. But I love that you authentically share your family experience, and you do involve your kids in the process. They're in the kitchen with you, they're cooking, and they look like they're having a grand time. And I know that's not staged. That's legitimately what's happening. So how valuable is that tool to let them be involved, especially if you've got a family that maybe you've got some eaters that are picky, or maybe they're mm-hmm. not as receptive to it, but how valuable of a tool is it to have them take part in this with you?
Absolutely. And I say that my kids used to be stupid picky. Like, I use the example, we would go through a church potluck. You know, you have so many varieties of food. It's like a buffet. We'd go through it and they would come out at the end and have a roll and a pile of shredded cheese, like actual just shredded cheese. And that was what they were going to eat after all those foods. That's all they found that they could eat. And it just floored me. I felt like I failed as a parent. I just didn't understand how I had such picky eaters. They didn't seem that way when they were babies and younger. And it can bring a lot of shame and guilt as a parent when you have picky eaters, especially you take them out and people start judging. And like, you know, it shouldn't be so hard to feed your kids, but it is. So to anyone who is feeling that way, I just want to say, I see you, and you are not alone. There are so many parents who struggle with what feels like should be a basic thing of how to feed your children. And so I dug into picky eaters. Absolutely getting your kids into the kitchen is a huge one, because you think about it, it connects them to the process. This is no longer the chicken mom made. This is the chicken I made. And aren't you going to try it? Like, they'll positive pressure their siblings. They're proud of it. They'll be engaged in the process. They're more likely to try it. I also realized and had to take responsibility for the things I was doing to unfortunately empower their pickiness, meaning creating those two separate meals. Just empowered and reiterated to them, I was giving them permission to eat differently than me. This is your food. This is my food. I'm not going to say my kids devour everything I put on the table, but once I started, like, this is just one meal. This is dinner. Eat it or don't. And taking, it's called the division of responsibility. Ellen Satter, I love her work. And my job as a parent, decide what food, when, and put it on the table. Their job as a kid is decide if they're going to eat and how much. And so once I took control over the things that were actually my job, there was such a more relaxed environment. Dinner times were no longer that battle, that struggle of like, okay, you need to eat two bites. Nope, nope, nope. My son once sat eating a bite of chicken at the table for half an hour. Like, it was such a ridiculous struggle. And when I released that and said, I did my job, I brought nourishing food in the house, I made dinner, I put it on the table, I made it available. They ate it or don't. Once dinner is done, the kitchen's closed for the evening, they'll be fine again. There'll be another opportunity in the morning. And it just released a lot of pressure and helped make it much more relaxed and enjoyable. And then my kids started trying things. It's like they sensed the lack of pressure, and then it was their choice. And like, my pickiest eater was suddenly eating cauliflower oatmeal. Like, I never would have thought, I never would have put that in the kid food category. I just put it on the table, didn't disclaimer, didn't say, oh, you probably won't like that. I just did it. And then next thing I know, he's like, oh, this is great. Can we have it again next week? I'm like, yes. Yes, you can.
I love that. What an evolution, though. What a cool evolution to see. And you know, kudos to you, because again, it's hard. It's emotional. It's work. It's there's a lot of things that go into this. So I just appreciate you sharing all that you do. And something else I think that's so valuable to everyone is you have the cookbook, but you have a lot of other resources that you can offer to people. Can you talk about some of those resources, whether it's from meal planning to shopping lists? What are some of the other resources that you have that can help some of these busy families?
Sure. So obviously having recipes is fantastic. You have your vocabulary. And if you're new to eating Whole30, paleo, gluten-free, dairy-free, whatever dietary change you're in the middle of, it's going to feel overwhelming, right? It feels like you're learning a whole new vocabulary. Like, what the heck are coconut aminos? What type of flour do I use for what? So I definitely have a lot of resources on my blog if you're trying to figure out, like I just released like a paleo flour, like which flours to use when, if you're trying to kind of learn that language. I also just started doing meal planning subscription and bundles because I noticed having recipes wasn't enough. Like, how many parents, especially my demographic is mostly moms, so I'm going to speak to them. How many moms have like a Pinterest folder full of all the recipes they're going to make and a cookbook shelf full of all these beautiful cookbooks that are beautiful and wonderful, but they're still struggling to get dinner on the table. They're still at 5 o'clock, head in hands. What am I going to have for dinner? Do I have the ingredients for it? Finally, you figure that all out. And then your kid tells you, oh, actually, we need to be at volleyball 10 minutes early tonight. So the window's closed. You have no opportunity. And of course, you're picking up food on the way that's more expensive and maybe not within the dietary needs you have, because that's all the options you have left. And so I started the meal plan subscription and bundle so that, let me do that for you. Like, I pick the meals for the week. They're all gluten-free, dairy-free, paleo with Whole30 options. I make the grocery list because we know it takes you at least half hour to go through the recipes, make your grocery list, and I grocery shop for you. So I put all there with one tap of the button, you can put all the ingredients into a cart at Walmart. You check out within 5 minutes, you have grocery shopped for the entire week. And then you can start the week super relaxed and chill because you know when dinner time comes, you know it's for dinner. You know you have the ingredients in your house, and you know it's going to be budget and kid friendly, and that you can just get the thing done. And so it's been really fun to provide that easy button for families to help them get in that rhythm. Whether you're good at meal planning or not, just taking that time out of your week and outsourcing it. The subscriptions are super affordable. I did so obviously intentionally given my demographic, so that you can use your time for more valuable things and be in your niche of where your time is most needed instead of meal planning, grocery shop list making, grocery shopping. So let me take that one off your plate.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. I think I need that. I think I need that. So, you know, when you get into this too, you're able to wing it a little bit better. But when you're first starting, man, you need a plan. I always say planning plus preparation equals success, because when it's new and different, it takes a lot of brain power. It takes time. You know, I can now go in the fridge and whip things up from what's in the fridge, but I couldn't do that before when I first started. Right. So having these resources, especially to help people get started, is so valuable. So we'll link that in the show notes so that everyone can go see that, because I might be your next customer on that. And then I also find the flour resource super helpful too, because that's how I was. I'm like, I'm just trying to recreate things. Like, you know, I wanted a paleo pancake, and like every time I tried a certain flour, it just didn't come out right. And so I had to go to Autumn's resources and see like why certain flours, they all are a little bit different and they're all different depending on the consistency. So I found that to be always a helpful resource for me. Now, I'm going to ask you a really tough, might be the toughest question I ask you here, but what are some of the recipes that your family loves, and maybe which recipes do you get maybe the most feedback on that are maybe the most popular?
Going to ask me to pick a favorite child.
I know. That's what I was going to say. It's like choosing between your children here.
But you warned me.
Yeah, I warned you.
I think a lot of my popular recipes are copycat recipes because, again, I have a friend whose daughter just went gluten-free, and they felt like it was the sadness, this sorrow of like, it's the death of all the foods I love is what she told her mom. And I was like, oh, honey, she's 11. And so if we can, like you said, let's find a way to recreate that in a parameter that works for your dietary needs. Again, all my recipes on my website and my cookbook, all of them are gluten-free, dairy-free. 95% of them are paleo and about 60% are Whole30. So I got you. And I would say the most popular recipe on my website is my Whole30 Paleo Chick-fil-A chicken. I grew up in Texas. I was a Chick-fil-A girl. Like, that is one of my favorites. And I even include hacks on how to make it quickly, because no parent has time to stand and hand bread. You know, let's do this one at a time for my 5 children. So quick and easy. And then I've got the Chick-fil-A sauce copycat. I've got Raising Cane's sauce copycat. So lots of copycat recipes like that. 60% of my recipes can be made in 30 minutes or less, because again, time, like that, we just need things that actually fit in our daily lives. So those are definitely some favorites. I would say because I'm Texas, from my cookbook, it's my chicken fried steak. Again, yes, that can be made in a Whole30 way. We're not deep frying anything, but I love those comfort foods. Like those, you know, just, you can still have so much joy in your food if you're living within a dietary protocol. You're just going to have to find the right resources that you feel empowered to do so. And I hope I can be one of those resources. If you need dairy, budget-friendly, kid-friendly, gluten-free, dairy-free, paleo, Whole30, I'd love to be that person for you, because you should still feel empowered even though you have more of a limited range of what you can eat.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so glad that you're able to be a resource for everyone. You're truly a blessing for people to have. Are there any other projects in the works for you that you want to talk about at all? What's coming down the pike? Anything?
You know, I get asked a lot if I'm going to do another cookbook. I do not have plans to do so currently. Right now, I'm adding more recipes to my blog. So wholefoodforseven.com. I just continue to add resources there because it's such an accessible, all of them are free to you. Anyone can access them. And it's just fun to keep finding ways to recreate deliciousness and a family-friendly way and put it on the website. So keep your eyes there. That's where you'll see most of my action. We'd love to have you join my meal plan subscriptions if you want. It also has a support group of other people eating this way. For me, it was a very lonely journey until I found Whole30 coaches. I didn't find people who wanted to talk about food or who could relate to, like, as I want to whine or look for resources for something that's gluten-free but actually tastes good, or, you know, like, sometimes you may not have the community. So that's a fun part of my subscription. If you're looking for a community, you're looking for access to an expert, we'd love to be that for you, just so you don't have to go at it alone and can feel supported in that change.
How else can people connect with you? We're going to link the website, but, you know, do you want people to connect on Instagram? How else can they reach out to you?
I say Instagram is my main jam. I show up there often. I share a lot about my life. I love that. Well, you feel like you know somebody through Instagram. I love that experience. So at WholeFoodForSeven is where I'm at on Instagram. That's my website. And yeah, like I said, my cookbook, Whole Food for Your Family, check it out. I do have a link on my website to where you can find my cookbook if you want specific links, but you can find it on Amazon, Walmart, Target, Barnes & Noble online now. It's not currently in stores, but you can find it online. And then on my website, I also have, if you want to buy it from a local independent bookstore, I have links for that as well.
Well, I thank you for making the time to join me, and always thank you for the vibe you put out in the world. I'm so proud of, like, our fellow coaches and a lot of the things that all of us are doing to try to, you know, just help people navigate a world that isn't the easiest at times. So I thank you for coming on. You're welcome to come back anytime you want to chat, and it's always good to see you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Christy.
That's a wrap for this episode of Ripple Effect Connection. I want to thank Autumn for sharing so authentically and genuinely, and I hope you found something to curb the overwhelm. I'm always up for your feedback on eating healthy as a family or any other topic. I love the conversation about the podcast topics on social media, so you can always feel free to continue that and let me know what resonated with you. Reach out on Instagram at Whole Health Christy, and you can also get the full show notes for this and all my episodes on my website, christyhugick.com/podcast. Next, spread the inspiration. Like, follow, review, and especially share this podcast with others who may benefit from this information. Stay tuned for the next episode of Ripple Effect Connection. Let's create waves of change together.